In this week's Edgar podcast, we talk with the indefatigable Danny Daniels, a golfer who is still winning trophies aged 87. Danny is a golfer playing with such visual impairment that he only has 5% vision in one eye. The secrets of his success on the golf course are a passion and skill for the game and his super helpful guide who helps Danny navigate the course. This guide happens to be his wife, Diana, and together they make a dream team. So let's meet them now. Imagine playing some great golf aged 87, having given up the game once aged 75 because you had gone blind. Danny Daniels had done just that, finding that the answer of who could act as his eyes and guide him around the golf course again was sitting right in front of him all along. Making his comeback aged 80, the equation is simply player plus guide equals a great team. Danny and his wife of nearly 60 years, Diana, are winners together, a heartening solution to a problem more common than readers might first think. There are many older golfers who will find themselves encountering sight loss. One common type of this is known as age-related macular degeneration. Some of these players will gradually lose confidence in searching for that ball in the sky and in the rough. Concerned perhaps of holding up their playing partners, they may take a break from playing, thinking it is just a rest perhaps, but then they may suddenly find themselves to be a former golfer, sitting at home, more than a little lost. Supporting Danny in his golfing quest has been hugely satisfying for his guide Diana, who he relies on completely, while her sense of purpose in really helping someone pursue their passion has become her passion too. Former RAF engineer Danny had seen a lot in life. He had answered the Queen's call to do national service as a young man of 18 in 1952, then joining the Royal Air Force and enjoying a first posting to see Hong Kong. He would later be based in Germany for 3 years, while in England specialising as an engine fitter and also a gliding instructor on air bases including RAF Bicester and RAF Halton. It was at Halton he met Diana, who was also in the RAF, working as a dental hygienist. The pair married in 1965. After 22 years of service, Danny enjoyed other jobs, while leisure time included a spell as a scoutmaster when their son Paul was in the scouts, and a number of years seawater diving before later turning to, when aged 65, a more traditional pastime for his age group, the game of golf. Danny tells us that starting at that age, he knew he wasn't going to be the next Nick Faldo or Jack Nicklaus.
That was obviously not going to happen, but I had an ambition to play off of 18. Magic figure, it seemed to me. One shot per hole. I was getting there. I was 23. You know, the handicap was 23. And all of a sudden, away went the eyes, I'm afraid to say. Driving home from Scotland, towing a caravan, something happened to my eye. I don't know. And I blinked it, shut it for a second. It was evening. And the red lights that were in front of me suddenly went very dim. I got fairly quickly to see a young doctor who said, yes, I need to refer you to the specialist. Come back in 4 weeks or something, it was. Went back and he said, oh, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do for your right eye.
Danny would lose the sight in his right eye, except a peripheral blur of 5%, inside 2 years, and there was concern for his left eye. Regular injections didn't help as hoped, and a detached retina in his left eye would lead to almost total blindness. From that blink on the A1 road from Scotland to blindness in just under 3 years.
It really is serious once you can't drive anywhere. Your independence begins to be diminished extremely fast. So that happened. I was declared, in brackets, blind in 2011. That was just 2 years, really very quick.
As his sight was failing, Danny carried on playing until one day, a playing partner made his excuses and told Danny he didn't want to play golf with him anymore.
I was gutted. And I was ready to give up golf, but pretty much did almost, you know, sat in the armchair. Di was a bit upset about this and went looking, searched the internet, came up with England and Wales Blind Golf. I was not going to play with blind people. no way I was going to play with blind people.
But Danny had fallen for golf over the course of a decade. He loved the game, and his club, Barnum Broom, was like a second home. He wasn't going to spite himself and throw it all away. So at the age of 80, Danny had the guts to change his mind. He and Diana finally contacted England and Wales Blind Golf, EWBG, and he has never looked back. After being warmly welcomed into the fold, he was soon selected for England and Wales to play against Scotland, and he won his three matches, all with Diana guiding his every shot and learning about the game herself. He then qualified for the World Championships, held in South Africa, where he came 24th. Apparently, Danny was by far the oldest person there, and Danny and Di have a photograph of him with the youngest competitor present, who was 19. Every win and every loss is inevitably felt by both player and guide, as Diana now explains.
The guide and the player are a team. We can't do it. Danny just couldn't do it without me. And he'll always, even out on the practice, a couple of times when he won putted, he'd hit the ball well. But it was immediately, thank you, Di, because I'd lined the ball up properly, and it's taught me a lot. I play golf as well, not very well, but I'm getting quite good at reading greens because I've got to. I've got to learn to read the green and put that ball where I think it's going to go. And I don't, like everybody, you don't always get it right, do you? But, there's lots of times when you do. And I think out of 18 holes, we only three putted once this week. So that was pretty good. But it's that team, the team building. And I think it's so good, especially if a husband and wife can do it together. It doesn't work with some relationships, but it works well with us. I mean, we fell out once on the golf course, and I told him quite plainly that he couldn't do that to me. He blamed me for something that wasn't my fault. And I very quickly said, not on, never my fault. It's, all I can do is put you in the right place. I'm not hitting the ball. And some people said, I'm harsh because I'll say that ball wasn't very good. But actually, he wants me to say that. He doesn't, he wants to know if it's a superb ball, I'll tell him it's a superb ball. If it's rubbish, I'll tell him it's rubbish, because he wants to know that. If you could see it, he could say it himself, wouldn't he?
Diana clearly sticks up for herself with Danny, but is also quick to defend Danny on the occasional instances when other players on a course can be a little intolerant. Danny and Diana both know that they set a decent pace tee to green. The only area which needs a little more attention is when player and guide pace out the length of the putt on the green, which is essential for knowing at what pace to strike the putt. Certainly, the members at Barnum Broom have been very good to them, and playing here and in all the events organised by EWBG, this has created many great experiences for them both.
And then I started playing then, and I've never, ever been a good golfer. I'm not a sporty person, but I can get around the golf course and I can make friends, and which is, I think, what's good about golf. Right at the moment, I've gone off it. So I've gone right off, but I thoroughly enjoy going out with Danny. And your ups, his ups are my ups, and his downs are my downs. And sometimes I get really cross in my mind and try not to show it. You sort of think, why can't you? And I said to him the other day, we went out in our very first hole, which is par four. He was down in four. And I said, why can't you do that in every hole? How do you get down in every hole like that? It was the perfect first shot, perfect second shot, popped it onto the green. And then between us, we managed a perfect putt, and that's how we got the four, because we one putted. But it was just, he'd got it all together. And I said, so he knows exactly how to get it all together. What goes wrong? Golf's in the head, isn't it?
For Danny, he loves that golf is still serving to keep him active at 87, relishing the exercise, the fresh air, and the sociability around the game.
It's the practice, the continuity of playing golf that, to me, is an important thing. And the continuity of just walking up to a ball. I use a buggy a lot these days, obviously, but walking up to a ball, getting out, making the decision which club you're using, get behind the ball, set up, fire at it, back in the buggy, off again to the ball, And I suppose I'm a bit impetuous about things. I want to carry on and want to move fairly fast.
Talk with Danny and Diana, and you learn they clearly enjoy a good laugh together. But as a golfer with something to say about golf for the disabled, Danny doesn't like people to feel sorry for him and other visually impaired people, or any golfers with a disability. Rather, he wants people to recognise their actual ability, what they can bring to life.
The thing that I really want to get to people outside of, out there, I suppose, is that we have ability. It isn't about disability, it's about the amount of ability that we have.
Danny also draws on his memory of being in the Royal Air Force with trusted colleagues. In these cases, such trust between air personnel could be a matter of life and death. He equates this feeling of a tight community to the world of golfers with visual impairment and with other disabilities, respecting the philosophy of supporting one another through empathy and shared experience.
But you learn to rely on those people, particularly in the services, because you're there for a particular reason. If you go in the services, you're there to defend the rights of your country, if you want to put it like that. You learn to rely on other people, what they do, what they say, what they tell you, which helps you with something like golf, for instance, when you've gone blind. England and Wales Blind Golf is like that, because people will talk to you. People will talk to you about the difficulties that you're having as a blind person and say to you, well, yes, I know what is precisely what you're saying, because I've got that. That happens to me. And I cope with it by doing this, that, or the other. And that's very important in those sort of situations. Mm. Whereas with the disabled community, if you want to put it that way, those little secrets that help one another are told. Is the point. I think that is what makes that sort of community unique in a way. And it's trust, and all those sort of things, companionship, friendship, it's just the same. And it's important. And I suspect the Army, if you wanted to put it there, or the Navy, would be the same, obviously. That you need to have trust in people. You need to be able to rely upon them.
At this point, Danny tells a fascinating family story about his grandfather, who worked in the tanning industry, the creation and treatment of leather. Working all hours with a passion for his craft, the grandfather discovered a tanning secret that found much demand, a secret he would tell no one, not even the company who employed him, only passing it on to his son. For Danny himself, who grew up as a man in the armed forces and serving his country, the hoarding of secrets of the business world did not sit easily with him. Without learning from the examples of shared trust from his life and around the golf course, where would he be? Where would he have been without his comrades in the services, or without his comrades of the fairways? And the partnership with his guide is not slowing up. As we spoke, Danny and Diana were preparing to attend, as guests of the DP World Tour and Edgar, the Betfred British Masters from August the 29th to the 31st, 2024. Where in the Spectator Village, they would be supporting the teams of England and Wales Blind Golf and Edgar as they promoted the game together to event visitors and their friends and family, to anyone who may know of someone who is visually impaired and may be interested in sampling golf or volunteering as a guide. And it was fantastic in doing this that England and Wales Blind Golf was sharing a stand with the charity Guide Dogs, both looking to help visually impaired people in different but complementary ways. Meanwhile, only days earlier in August 2024, Danny, aged 87, remember, with Diana as his guide, won the British Blind Masters held at Meon Valley Hotel and Golf Club in Hampshire, beating more than 30 golfers of all ages who were visually impaired from around the UK and Southern Ireland over 3 days. It was a remarkable win and a triumph of Danny's consistency and Diana's skill as a guide. And at the prize presentation for this key England-Wales blind golf event, not just the player lifts the winner's trophy, so too does the guide. Two trophies, one player plus a good guide, makes a team that is impossible to beat. Yeah. This Edgar podcast was written and narrated by Ben Evans, and the sound production was by Martin Maynard of Sounds Good. You can find more stories of people with a disability thriving through golf in the profiles section of the Edgar website at edgargolf.com, and you can contact members of our team through the website.